You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. This year marks the 40th anniversary of East Village Magazine, the little magazine that could. This nonprofit magazine has been bringing community news to people in Flint since 1976, a labor of love for its founder, the late Gary Custer. East Village Magazine has hung in there to become one of the nation's oldest community media outlets. Here with us now is Jan Worth Nelson, who's editor of East Village Magazine. Jan, welcome.
Thank you, Cynthia. It's great to be here.
Good to have you here. And we have Nick Custer, the managing editor. And if that name sounds familiar, yes, he is the nephew of founder Gary Custer. Welcome.
Thank you. Real pleasure.
Jan, how would you describe East Village Magazine to someone who's never seen it or read it?
It's very local, hyper-local, but it also has always had consciously a set, sort of a sense of style. We try to have very good writing in it. We try to do some literary things, personal essays, and you notice the beautiful covers. We're known for our covers. Nick's father, Ed, is our photographer, has been for 40 years.
And not many pages. So the idea is, rather than some big, thick thing stuffed with advertising, you're bringing writing.
Yeah, right. We really care about the written word. That really matters to us. I was a writing teacher at U of M Flint for 25 years, and I really, really, and I have an MFA in creative writing, so, and, you know, a background in journalism. So to me, the survival of the written word in a quality format is really, really important to me. But I wanted to mention that the photography part is also central to who we are, that Gary was a photojournalism major at the University of Missouri, and he brought that journalism commitment to East Village Magazine for 40 years.
Well, Nick, tell us more about your uncle, Gary, and how did he come to found this magazine 40 years ago?
Well, it's really interesting.
We should mention, by the way, you were certainly not around.
Yeah, no, definitely not. But I grew up alongside the magazine, and it's been a really interesting experience. So we started it back in 1976 after coming back from, I believe, reporting in the Navy during Vietnam and doing a couple other things in Flint in the intervening years. And I think a lot of the impetus came from kind of this need for the community to have a voice and to have some more control of what was going on. The kind of central neighborhood that where he lived and a lot of the activities have taken place was part of the urban renewal. So about half the neighborhood was turned into Interstate 475. At the time, my understanding is a lot of the residents were very much against this, and it was kind of done from a top-down perspective. And so this was a way to regain control, to allow people locally to have these kind of AP journalism skills, which are very important, and to really just give Flint another outlet to speak its mind and to share information.
And Jan, when and how did you first encounter this magazine?
When I first encountered it was when I came to Flint as a social worker in 1981. I had an MSW from Michigan, and I got a job in Flint, and I got a little walk-up apartment on Avon Street. There was this little, as I have described, there's this little black and white thing that came to my door occasionally, and I had no idea what it was. I had a background in journalism, but I was there in Flint for social work. So then I found out that the Custer family, this was a labor of love of the Custer family and had been going for 6 years or so by the time I came to Flint. And I eventually got to know Gary. So he was already legendary when I came to Flint and when I discovered this magazine.
And you now are, you're its editor.
Right.
What do you feel is the mission statement?
Well, we're there to inform the community about local matters that maybe they wouldn't find out from anyone else. We're very committed to some things that might seem to be wonky, but that really affect people's lives, like what happens in the zoning boards and planning commissions sometimes. So we're there for the neighborhood. We're there to get news out for the neighborhood. Our overriding umbrella is called the Village Information Center. So we are hyper-local, trying to get the news out, and also to do it with some flair, with really good writing, really good journalism, really good photography.
Nick, give us a sense of some of the topics that have been covered in recent issues.
Well, most recently, in the issue that just came out this last month, I did a large piece about the mayor's plan for the infrastructure replacement in the city of Flint and got a state kind of perspective on how realistic that funding is and what still kind of, you know, isn't on the table. We've done stuff from all sorts of perspectives on great community nonprofits exist and are doing work out there against school board matters, things from city council all the way down to neighborhood associations. We find that often, or at least I find, often some of the most functional organizations are actually at the neighborhood level and not in city governments.
Right, or there at the grassroots.
So it's just a really important perspective, and you hear news and information that honestly you can't get anywhere else.
And the idea that it's coming out to people in Flint whose lives are directly impacted. This, how do you get this out to people? I mean, you came home and found this little magazine at your doorstep. Right, how are you distributing this?
That's, I think, the most fascinating part of it all, and maybe why it's only 8 to 12 pages at a month. It's all volunteer. So we have neighbors. They decide, I care about this. I want the information to get out there. I'll volunteer to do my block or my entire neighborhood. And that's really both a great advantage and slight disadvantage. You know, you only can reach as many people as are willing to distribute. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, people that are really committed. And we really do feel like a large family, like a real community that's making a difference in Flint.
Well, you do say heavily volunteer. I take it as they're being dropped off on people's mailboxes and doorsteps. Yeah. People aren't paying for this, so how do you keep the business going?
Well, we have advertising. We have some advertisers that I think there's two or three advertisers who've been with us for the whole 40 years. Mm. So, for instance, the Temple Dining Room is one of my favorite ones. It's a downtown institution at the Masonic Temple. So we have advertising. We make a pitch for donations, so our upcoming birthday party is a fundraiser. Mm.
Oh, and occasionally we get blessed with some grants. And so this run, we've been really lucky to have support from the C.S. Mott Foundation, which is also the organization that gave the first seed grant to start East Village 40 years ago.
So it's perfect. We're talking with Jan Worth Nelson and Nick Custer of East Village Magazine in Flint. It's really one of the nation's oldest community media outlets. What does community journalism mean to you, Nick?
I think community journalism is really being able to look at issues with a sense of empathy, with a sense of understanding and context that often you can't get when you have large media outlets coming into the community and just doing a quick overview. The water crisis is a great example.
And I certainly want us to talk about that.
Right.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
How did that community journalism approach inform the way you covered the Flint water crisis, Jan?
Well, because we're really deeply rooted in the community, we were experiencing it every day along with our readers. We're all the same neighbors. We all live next door to each other. So
you're brushing your teeth with a bottled water and
absolutely.
Worrying about water filters.
Yes.
Yeah. So I wrote several, I write this back page column for EVM. I've been doing that for about 10 years or so. So I found myself responding personally to it, which was something that I could do with the format that we have. And that was very helpful to me. And I think it was a way to go beyond the shows and the hearings and the struggles of picking up water and everything. There was a personal voice that was able to be expressed in the magazine that wasn't seen in the same way anywhere else, I don't think. Also, Nick did some fabulous reporting. He wrote a story just about how to figure out if you had lead service lines coming into your house. Mm. And we had a little diagram that showed people how to do it.
Right.
And they didn't get that kind of help anywhere else. So we got like thousands of hits on that one article that was online and then appeared in the magazine itself. That's been a kind of coverage that I think is useful because we're coming at it from we live here and this
Absolutely.
Is what other people are saying.
Well, unlike most of the journalists who came in from around the world and focused on Flint, and that had to have been odd at the very least to see your town become in the white hot spotlight of world attention. No,
in a few ways, it was validating that the work we're doing is good and important and empowering of residents, especially stuff where we're able to give them the tools to make those decisions for themselves. At the same time, you know, it was also a little scary in ways because people will come in and they'll get it wrong consistently. And it's not necessarily their fault so much as it's such a complicated issue. Mm-hmm. And if you don't really have a local focus or a bit of context to understand what's really going on, you get lost in all the details. And so a lot of people will say, oh, it was Flint's officials that made this decision or it was solved now and it's this. The reality is, you know, we're still dealing with the problems, and on the ground it looks a lot different than the perceptions you get reading the articles.
Right.
So 40 years under your belt, what are your long-range goals for EVM?
Well, we want to keep it going. We always have these debates, so it's good that you would ask this question, I guess. And I don't have a quick answer. We're kind of retro. It's a pickup magazine. It's not subscription. We're doing it as a nonprofit. Mm-hmm. We're depending on 50 distributors in rain and snow.
Volunteers.
Family
involvement.
Yes, yes. And now there are, our family has expanded. I would like to keep it going because I think Flint is just a fascinating place to be. Mm. And its story needs to be told at the level that we're able to tell it. And since none of us are paid, we can be honest in a way that is very freeing and liberating. And I think that our city deserves to have that kind of attention by people who live there. And then I'm just crazy about the aesthetics of it, too.
It's beautiful.
It's beautiful. And I inherited the aesthetics from Gary and Ed, Nick's very artistic father, who was also a city planner in Flint for many years. And I just love it. And so I would love to keep that going as a gift to the community. That's where I've spent my whole adult life.
And is that something I'm going to look at the next generation? Because you're the one that would take this into the future. Do you see this happening? Is this sustainable?
Sustainability is such a funny term, right?
It is.
You know, I'm along for the ride, and I have been for the last 12 years since I was 16 years old when I first started writing. I love the kind of stuff you can get out of East Village Magazine, the networks, the information you find that otherwise you wouldn't even ever know, and just the idea that what we're creating is something that doesn't exist in Flint. One of the main focuses of the magazine is education. We teach people these styles. Mm-hmm. There's not currently journalism programs at all in the Flint area. Right. And so if you want to learn these skills, you either have to work for us or you might have to leave. And so we're giving people another reason to stay and love their community.
You can find the magazine at its website, eastvillagemagazine.org. There'll also be a 40th anniversary celebration happening this Saturday, September 24th, at the Flint Farmers Market. It runs from 4 to 9 p.m. I've been speaking with Chan Worth Nelson, the editor of East Village Magazine, and Nick Custer, the managing editor and the nephew of founder Gary Custer. Thanks to both of you for speaking with us.
Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, Cynthia.